Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
It is the Ladies of Liverpool podcast. Hopefully you're spreading the word. We continue to bring you the stories that matter from right across our region and beyond. We love the fact you're listening all over the world, which is always a joy when you message us on social media. Find Ladies of Liverpool on Facebook and Instagram. I'm your host, Leanne Campbell, and we are, of course, sponsored by the brilliant Orthodontic Practice on Rodney Street. So they're sponsoring us right across the summer, helping us do more, go into the community, and to make sure everybody knows exactly what's happening. It's making people aware of the things that count. And by them sponsoring us, I can let you know about my journey with my daughter, Annabelle. So when it came to looking at her teeth, our dentist we've been going to for years and still go to, it was very much a, we'll deal with this when she's older. She's got a crossbite, she's got an issue. It's going to be surgery when she's 18. I wasn't completely happy with that. I was having sleepless nights. If you've got any issues with your kids, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And so I spoke to Dr. Sharva, who came up with a plan. She gave us some alternatives, and I'm happy to say a couple of months in, they are working wonders. So hopefully we'll avoid the surgery and this will be her journey. Just pop into Rodney Street to the wonderful staff at the Orthodontic Practice. Follow them on socials. And if this has hit a nerve, you know somebody who needs to know this information, then just let them know. Tell them to head to the Orthodontic Practice online and book their appointment today. So from one parent talking about dental treatment, I now talk to the parents who might have been involved with Clay House or know somebody who has been. And I love giving space to all of our charities as often as I can on Ladies Liverpool. I spoke to Tina, a friend of mine who works at Clay House, and we did a Q&A and we had Lucy Meacock down. We'd done this brilliant ladies lunch and it was powerful. It was emotional. It was important that we spoke about the changes with Clay House. Just like many of our charities, it relies on funding from the public, and the public is you lot listening right now. So whether you can donate or you can just spread the word, it doesn't matter. It's just about you supporting. Ladies, let's come to you first. Introduce yourself and tell us your role at Clay House, please.
Hi, my name's Sarah and I am on the therapies and wellbeing team at Clay House. So we support families, the children and young people, parents, grandparents and siblings throughout the experiences from the very first moment where it begins right through.
How long have you been there?
Eight years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you've been on your own journey.
I have. Yeah. And then I had a personal lived experience. Changes. Sorry, spoke
oh, we'll talk then. About that. No, listen, this is your podcast. You go for it. So you've got a lived experience as well as working there.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
So I grew up as a young carer for my sibling, who I was 2 years older than. And he had a condition called Duchenne muscular dystrophy, where he was able-bodied until around the age of 7, and then his muscles gradually got weaker. He was able to communicate like you or I, and then gradually his body began to deteriorate, and he was 2 days before his 16th birthday, he got pneumonia, and sadly, because of his condition, wasn't able to fight it off. So I was 18, and the way in which it turned out for us and our family, we never got the support in the way it can be given now. Mm-hmm. And that was 20 years ago for me.
Yeah.
And my mental health really, really struggled from the age of 18 to early 20s. And there just was nobody there.
Was that because you were questioning what happened, his final days? And was it that? What was you struggling with?
Struggling because I was the eldest of four siblings.
Yeah.
And I was old enough to understand ish what was going on, what was happening. So I didn't want to bother my parents. So I thought, I'll be the helper. I'll be the person who goes and makes sure everyone's okay and takes care of my siblings. So there was almost a sense of, I'll wear a mask and I'll show the way that I'm okay. And I kind of lived my life from the age of six, when I knew this was going to happen, right up until his final moments. And I think because I didn't consciously do that, that was just what I, you know, unconsciously decided, I just didn't know who I was. So I was, had a sense of emptiness and loneliness inside, and then went through huge amounts of trauma. So then by the time I got to my early 20s, there was no real identity there for me, because the helper, which was the huge, biggest part of my personality, was no longer needed because he wasn't around anymore.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it was awful. And naturally, you know, the spotlight was on my parents because they just lost their child, and that was horrendous. Yeah. And, you know, back then it was, we were like, not intentionally, but my siblings and I were invisible in a way. So, yeah, I grew up feeling... not invisible, but feeling that way, you know. Yeah. It was really, really difficult.
So it led you to the path, you know, that you're on now with, yeah, the Clay House and supporting families. And that was the thing I really took on board at the last event that we did, was speaking to the families and the siblings who've now grown up, and talk about how important all these different parts of Clay House are. Mm. It's not just caring for the sick. It's the parents, it's the siblings, it's the grandparents, yeah, it's the surroundings. Now what we've got on our plate is the fact that we need this Liverpool site.
Yes.
A friend of mine, Hayley Smallman, who speaks very openly about her journey with Clay House, and how when her little one needed the help, she had that long journey from Liverpool to the Will. And she's like, we need something closer to home. People deserve that. Families, the children, they deserve that. So now we're reading headlines. We've got this place. It's going to be amazing. There's millions going into it. It's great. For a lot of people now, they'll be thinking, oh, great, it's done.
Got it.
We don't have to work at this now. It's all done. It's all, someone's waved a magic wand and it's all fixed, and all these children have got exactly what they need in their families. That's not the case.
Absolutely.
So first and foremost, before we go any further, the point of this pod is to let people know, we're nowhere near there.
No, nowhere near. We are still currently using the site for therapies and wellbeing and daycare.
Yeah.
Our doors will shut at the Liverpool site, which is a 10-minute walk from Alderhay. So that's amazing.
So
I know, location's amazing.
Yeah.
They'll close in early 2027. We have a small sum of money, I would say, in comparison to what we need. I think it's been budgeted at the moment for around 22.9 million. I would say we probably don't even have half of that yet.
Wow.
Yeah. And then obviously beyond that, it'll be keeping the doors open. So this is going to be a long-term, you know, thing that we need support from the community.
So what, like, is it we're asking people to do? Are we asking them to fundraise?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the crux of it.
Yeah, we've got a great fundraising team who organise so many different events. Mm. And you know what I absolutely love about it? I mean, I know I work there, what? So I'm going to, you know, speak highly of it, but I honestly, I'm really passionate, is everybody is real, the human,
yeah,
the passionate.
Well, look at you and your journey, and like, you're so connected to,
yeah,
it. For somebody in the darkest hour to have someone at their side who says, I'm not just trained to get it, I actually
get it. Yeah,
that's worth its weight in gold, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, okay, we know what we need, and we know how impressive this site is going to be. Give us some of the little headliners for the new site, what it's bringing that we don't already have.
Oh, so at the moment we have our end of life care, which is predominantly based on the Wirral. And we have two, what we call them, butterfly suites, where we can support families after their child has died. We don't have that in Liverpool at the moment. So we will have amazing butterfly suites where we'll be supporting the families right throughout their journeys up until the end. So they will literally have to just come from Alderhay or at home or wherever they decide that to be. We'll have a hydrotherapy pool, which is unbelievable. I was looking at some of the draw-ups yesterday, and oh gosh, it's going to look phenomenal. We're going to have 24-hour care there. So we're going to have, we only have respite at the moment on the Wirral, and that's moving. Also, we're going to have it across both sites. So that's going to be in Liverpool too. We're going to have the therapy. So we have complementary therapists, and we have psychotherapists, we have psychologists, hypnotherapists, lots of trauma and interventions. I do a few of those things. Yeah. Gosh, what else? I mean, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's also going to be quite like community-based, where people can come from the community and be a part of it. The grounds are unreal, because, I mean, they're amazing now, and I've seen what they're going to look like. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So you can come and have, like, a walk through the grounds, and it's going to be amazing. I don't think there's probably is things that I've missed out, because it's just going to be that amazing.
So much. Well, we've got Katie sat next to you now. Oh. So talk to us about your journey with Clare House and, of course, your gorgeous Ava.
Yeah. So Ava was born healthy, just perfect. She was gorgeous. Just after she turned two, she started complaining that her legs were sore. So we were back and forward to the doctors for quite a while. And then we were referred to a neurologist, and he was brilliant. I was telling him about, while we were waiting for like all the referrals and stuff, more things kept happening. So she started to like choke on her food and her drinks, and it was strange. So when we met her doctor, he listened to everything I said, and he said to me, I think it's a lot more sinister, just like that. And I was like, oh.
Oh, for a mother to hear those words.
Yeah.
Because all she wanted to hear is, we know what it is, it's fixable.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you're desperate to hear that, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you get the opposite.
Yeah. And it was just like, so went away. He phoned me the next day. He said, we can get you an MRI in Alderhay in 2 weeks, or, so we're from the Wirral, we can get you in Arrow Park tomorrow. So I was like, just do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even then, never thought in a million years that they were going to say what they said. So she went in for an MRI, and they called us through, and he just said, I'm so sorry. At the time, didn't take any of it in. It was just a blur. It was, but so Ava was diagnosed with metachromatic leukodystrophy, it's called, and it's very similar to what your brother had. Mm-hmm. And we've spoke about this, haven't we?
Yeah,
like I think, well, when we first met, I obviously didn't know anything about Sarah's brother, but I think we just straight away just clicked. Yeah. We met in lockdown, wasn't it? It was in lockdown. So someone got in touch with me and asked if I wanted to. Sarah's my counsellor.
Okay.
If I wanted to carry
speak
on with counselling,
yeah.
So we had Zoom calls every week, didn't we? And it was nice. It was lovely. It was nice to have like a support.
And this was nothing, you know, that involved Ava. It was you on your own talking to Sarah and
Ava,
going through your own.
But this was and this was while I still had Ava. So this was just help through lockdown.
Mm.
I've just jumped straight through to like missed a massive part of the thing. But so Ava had leukodystrophy, and again, she was fine for. It was strange because it was like as soon as she was diagnosed, she just started to slowly lose everything. So first of all, she stopped being able to like sit up. She kind of lost her fine motor skills. Then she stopped being able to walk. Then she couldn't talk. It was just very, very
so
slow.
Cruel that for the first 2 years, she was reaching all the milestones.
Yeah.
And she was achieving what we'd all expect our children, our babies to achieve.
Yeah.
And then just very quickly lost all these skills.
Yeah.
That's torturous.
It is. And I think how I dealt with it was, so she stopped being able to sit up, but it was like, okay, she can't do that, but she's okay.
Yeah.
And they did tell me that it was terminal, but it was one of them where it was like, I just can't think about it. And that was always my big thing with you, wasn't it? It was like, I can't deal with that. Yeah. I'm not going to deal with that now. If I have to, I will. It was kind of like denial. I was in denial.
Yeah.
So it was like, this has happened, but she's all right. We'll deal with that.
Did they say to you, you know, you're looking at a certain amount of time with your baby, or could it be because obviously your brother was 60?
Mm.
They did, but I never wanted to know.
Okay.
I've still to this day, I've never Googled it. Mm. I just, again, I just didn't want to know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure she was okay. So it was like,
so
just
taking every day as it comes.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, as each day comes, changes are happening.
Yeah. But it was like one thing after another. But again, I was like, she's okay. And she was always so happy.
Yeah.
Didn't moan at anything. So I think now that's why I don't moan at nothing, because everything she went through, she didn't moan. We got to a point where when she first got sick, everyone was bringing her presents and gifts. And she, at this point, when she could still talk, she was expecting gifts all the time.
And was she two, did you say?
She was two, yeah.
Coming up three, maybe. Yeah.
So she was two in the May and she got diagnosed in the August.
Okay.
So, but then by the February, she went in February for a PEG because the muscles in her throat stopped working then, so she couldn't talk. Yeah. So she had a PEG then, she was tube fed then. But yeah, it was that quick. She then became fully wheelchair bound. She was really, really poorly, but she wasn't like poorly to where she couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we still done so much with her, but again, that was all thanks to Claire House. So I remember the weekend she got diagnosed, someone phoned me from Claire House, and obviously I've never know anything about Claire House. I think unless you're involved in it, you don't really know the full extent of what they do.
I think that's why this podcast is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For all charities, you sit here because you see the headline, you see the social media pages, you think you know, but you don't. Mm. You don't have a clue.
No.
Because none of them are just one thing. There's so many strands to these amazing charities. But Claire House has been going so long. And like you said, unless you know someone directly, you've got no idea.
Yeah.
I think when you hear hospice as well, you automatically go, oh, doom and gloom, sadness. And that must have been at that moment what you were thinking.
Well, I did. So when he got in touch with me, obviously she'd been diagnosed and I was still kind of taking it in, and I was just like, oh. So when I heard the children's hospice, I was like, oh. It was like a punch to the gut again. It was one thing after another. But then I met them. And our first day there, So Ava loved to be sung happy birthday to. Loved the cake, loved just the fuss, I think. So they threw a party. So it's all our family. We went, they have like that little shed thing in the back, don't they?
Yeah.
In the garden. Yeah. And the grounds are gorgeous, aren't they? And the thing. They had Peppa Pig, Minnie Mouse, because she loved them. Like dress up. We had ponies. Yeah. It was a full on party just for her. Yeah. And that was her first day meeting everyone and being there. And from then it was brilliant. And for me, what I love the most with Claire House is how much they loved Ava and looked after her, and they just, and not just Ava, all the kids, they treat the children and the families like they are your family. So when we met, I think we always say, don't we? We'd be mates if we had.
My radio counsellor, Abby and Lisa. You just click straight away, didn't we? Sorry to speak over then. I do that sometimes to get excited. When Katie and I first met, lockdown had just hit, and we wanted to make sure we were able to support our family still, because there was no way we were working with families through such trauma and then all of a sudden going, you don't have to wait now.
Yeah.
So we immediately got an online service going. So Katie and I first met on Zoom, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I could see Ava on her knee, and I got to meet Ava, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, she's so beautiful. Mm. That was our first interaction, wasn't it?
But even the help there. So Ava used to always wheel me. And I said to you, didn't I? We, like, one of our first phone calls, I was like, oh, I'm just going to have to change it. She's weed on me.
Yeah.
And she was like, why? Like, why is that happening? Because she was in the wrong, like, pads.
Yeah.
And it was even that. You were like, no, I'm going to sort that. And then we managed to get me an appointment and got me the right things. And she never weed on me again.
It's just little things that, you know, is so normal to you. Yeah. I know how to fix that. I know when you're going through what you're going through in that moment of time, that seems like the least of your worries.
Yeah.
But then in the grand scheme, if you can fix that and you can change that, then, you know, it's another step to just enjoying your time. So tell me more about Ava then. So we're getting to Ava's third birthday.
Yeah. So by her third birthday, she was fully disabled at this point. But even then, when I remember at the start, when someone mentioned about disabled, it was like, oh my God, she's disabled. Like, she never.
That's not a word that you would, attach to your Ava.
No. And I know it's quite, like, arrogant, really, but I just always assumed that you'd be born with a disability or something has to happen. I didn't think that you could just. So, what the leukodystrophy is the white matter on the brain is just disappearing and there's no cure. That's it. You can be born with it at any time in your life. You could have it. You could live a full life and get it as when you're older. Wow. So you can get it at certain ages.
I can't be the only one who's never heard of this at all.
It is very rare.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd never heard of anything like that. It was just a complete shock.
And for Ava to be affected so significantly and so quickly.
Yeah.
That must be rare as well if you're saying, you know, people can live with it their whole lives and in the 50s, 60s start to develop symptoms. It feels like she's on fast forward with this.
It was. It was like as soon as she was diagnosed, it was overnight. You literally become a nurse and you've got to learn at it. When she first got a peg, we had to go back to the hospital 4 times a day just to learn how to feed.
And how far away did you live from the hospital?
So I was going to Arrow Park, so it's not too far.
But this is where I bring it back again to people who are at Alder Hey or families in Liverpool.
Yeah.
If they're going back and forth because they need the gate of Clay House, but they're going through the tunnel, we've all driven and seen, we're going wherever we're going. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never been in, but I've driven past it so many times, whether I'm going on a gig or, you know, a day out with the kids. And you drive past and you sort of go, you take your breath and you think, that's someone's first drive.
Yeah.
They were going through something and that's their first drive. And it looks beautiful, but from where I live, it's an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in an emergency or at the time you need, if that's where you're helped, this is why we need one for the families in Liverpool.
Definitely.
We've got families who are terrified of going through the tunnel because what if?
Yeah.
What if something happens and we're in the tunnel? That's terrifying.
Hayley, my friend, says that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's coming through that tunnel. I just need to get out the other side to get that little bit closer. But if we can help families with that just by purely having a base, then we're onto something good, aren't we?
But even things like when you said about the tunnel, so Ava's started to lose her vision. And any time like a light would go off, her eyes would open wide and be like, what's going on? Yeah. So every time we went through the tunnel, you know, if we were going towards Hay, that would happen and I'd have to be like, you're okay, and speak to her through it. And again, you would never think of things like going through a tunnel, but it does affect the kids massively. Things like that. And it's again, it's just things you don't think of, which unless you're in it.
So from diagnosis then, straight away, you were handed help from these guys.
Yeah.
Talk me through the final months and weeks of your time with...
So Ava, it was Christmas Eve. No, it was Boxing Day. Mm. She was fine. There was nothing. She was perfectly fine. The next, we had a normal Christmas. Christmas was lovely. It's hard. I think once Ava lost her abilities for everything is, you try and do everything you can to make it special and magic. And
she's 3 at this point, isn't she?
So when we first went to Clare House, she was just after she was 2. So we had like, Ava passed away when she was 8.
Oh, okay.
So we had 6 years with Clare House where we had, to me, Clare House is like, it's like one of my comforts. And it's crazy because I know a lot of people might think the opposite way, where it's, I remember... The first time we went to Clare House, it was kind of like it takes your breath away because you see all these poorly kids and you're just like, oh God. And especially when your child is like that and you're like, oh. But then when you're there and you see they're all so happy, some of them are painting, some of them are in the hydro pool, they're watching telly, and it's just, it's one of them where it's like, it's gorgeous for them, but it's still like, God, it's hard.
It's my baby. I want to be there.
Yeah. But then, because they were so good with Ava and they really, they'd all used to fight over Ava.
I was about to say that. As soon as I knew Ava was in, I'd be like,
she's like a little Disney princess.
But that, funnily enough, Ava, that's what everyone would call her, a princess.
Really?
Even when, in her room, she's just got it's just like a Disney shop, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Ava, they've said to me, like, some of them, one person said to me, they can't watch a Disney film or hear a song without thinking of Ava. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, and that's, she's just the best.
Mm.
But Claire House were brilliant with her.
And again, it's the awful part that is hard to hear, but you had her till she was 8. And when you think how quickly things were deteriorating from 2,
yeah.
I was shocked to hear.
Yeah,
you know, because I was thinking she's only just creeping up to a third bit, and you're talking about she's losing her sight and all these things, and so she gets to 8.
Yeah,
at what point? Because you've mentioned how you were in denial and you didn't really want to admit. At what point did this become?
So
we know what's happening.
Until it happened,
really?
it was just like that. It was unexpected.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Newman, I'll be okay.
Take your time.
So it was Boxing Day, fine. And then it was the 27th. And she used to get quite rattly. So she'd be getting, she'd be getting a chest infection. So that was one of the things that she would suffer with quite a bit. They did tell me a couple of years before that it would be a chest that would probably cause it to pass away.
Similar to Sarah saying about the
the pneumonia. So that's what it was for Ava.
Mm.
So at 27, she woke up and she was quite rattly. And I thought, with New Year coming up, I'm best getting her antibiotics because it'll be a nightmare to get and stuff like that. So I checked her oxygen and it was fine. But I thought, I'll just take her up anyway. And obviously, when kids with really complex needs and that poorly have open access to the hospital. So I phoned them, took her straight up. It was, that day was crazy. It was so strange. When we got there, one of the nurses that was on shift was one of Ava's nurses that come out to the house, so she knew Ava.
Okay.
So straight away, it was just like, because we always went to Arrow Park because it was closer. I've got to say, they were brilliant with Ava, always were brilliant with her. But because Ava was so complex sometimes, I think people who never met her before, it was just a bit like scary for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we got there.
That's an important thing that you're pointing out, that Clare House works alongside Arrow Park, Alderhay. Mm. This isn't just a standalone, but it's so important to pull everything together.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, so even that, so Emma, the nurse's name is. She's been at some of the MDT meetings that we'd have at Clare House. And even that, so an MDT meeting is like where all the professionals would get together and talk about what's best for the child and the plans and like do go there. And the very first one I went to, it was, I didn't like it. Again, I was still in this point where I was just, I don't want to hear it. So again, I said to Laura from Clare House, can you just be me? You go there, listen to it all, and then tell me what we're going to do.
Mm.
So that's how it was for us then. I never had to go because they'd done it for me. I just didn't want to hear all the reality of life. I didn't want to hear it because I just wanted to be in this bubble with Ava where it was like, no, she's okay. And I did. Every time anything happened, I was like, no, she's okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a parent alive listening to this who doesn't relate to that and think that's exactly how I'd cope because what's the alternative, you know?
Yeah.
I remember Katie saying that to me and I was like, you know, you're preserving your energy for today.
Yeah.
You're not going to take away, you know, today's energy by thinking of tomorrow. And the things and the life you gave Ava, you needed to keep that energy to make sure she had the life that you give her, you know, and I could see that. And when you say you were in denial, there was a part of you that I was aware, but you were like, I'm not there yet, I'm here and I need to stay here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, Emma was at their meeting. So as soon as I walked in the hospital and I seen Emma, I was like, oh. So Emma done her obs and stuff. But then straight away she was just like, because her oxygen had dropped massively. So they took her into the room, put her on oxygen, and it was even still then, it was like, right, she's got bad chest infection. We're going to give her antibiotics, give her steroids, go from there. So we were waiting, and I don't even know really what happened. So the chest physio, she was having chest physio, which she had quite a bit when she'd get a chest infection. The woman came down, and I'd met her before because she'd done it the last time Ava was in hospital, which was the February, which it was quite bad chest infection. She'd been in for a couple of days, but again, we went home, everything was fine. And I was kind of just expecting the same. So she was getting a physio, and the toilet is just around the corner. So I was like, she's okay for a second, just going to nip to the toilet. I'd got to the toilet door and I just heard as chaos. And I turned around and I seen a whole resource team running in. So I just ran in after it, and I don't know why. I was just looking, and there was 9 of them they were resuscitating her. And I was stood at the end of the bed, and it was like I just wasn't there. And the doctor that had been looking after had put her arm around me and was like, do you need me to call anyone? Before we got the hospital, I'd text. So Laura and Kate from Clare House were like our little best friends. They are just the most gorgeous people in the world, and forever will be. And we're in a little group chat, and I text them saying, Ava's being naughty, taking it to the hospital, I'll let you know. So they hadn't heard from me then. And as this is happening, I get a phone call off Laura, and I just gave my phone to Emma. And they, between them, sorted everything out. Ava came round then. And then at this point, Laura and Kate got there, and Laura said to me, well, the doctor had said, like, this is it. There's nothing that we can do. And then they said to me, I didn't find this out till a couple of months later, but they were thinking about taking Ava to Alder Hey and taking her into, like, ICU. Mm-hmm. But she would have just been there for a couple of days and wouldn't have survived anyway. Yeah. And from day one, I've always said to everyone in Clare House who deals with, like, that part of things, you be the doctor or the nurse, I'll just be a mum. Any decisions that you think are important like that, you do it. Mm. I'll be a mum. So I said to Laura, what should I do? I said, should I just hold her? And she said, just hold her. And so we did. And then at this point, they'd managed to get like our family and friends. And the thing with Ava as well, everything was always massive, wasn't it? It was like in lockdown, it was her, I can't remember which, I think she was 5. Mm. And all our friends and family covered the street, and we brought Ava to the front because obviously they couldn't go near her, and there was just so many people all sang happy birthday to her, and she was always surrounded by so many people. Mm-hmm. So we were all in the room with her. They'd put Disney music on, and I was just lying on the bed with her, and she just passed away. There was all our family and friends, and me and her dad, and she was lying with us, and it was a shock. It was so fast. But then I think I'd rather it be a shock for us than for her to have to suffer.
Yeah.
So then Laura then said, what do you want to do now? And I was just like, what do you mean? So she said, you can either go to Clare House, go to the Butterfly Suite, or you can go home. I was like, oh, go home. Let's just take her home. Yeah. So then everyone kind of cleared. My mum and my brothers, they all shot home, because it was Christmas, wasn't it? So they took all the Christmas decorations down, got the living room cleared, got the bed downstairs, got it just ready for Ava to come home. This is all we'd got to the hospital at 11. Ava passed away by 4. So it's just like that. So at this point, I don't know, again, Clare House, Arrow Park kind of worked together, and they gave Ava the guard of honour when we left the hospital. And it was, I got in a wheelchair with Ava on my knee. I covered her up, but she had a little, like, a blanket on her, and only I could see her face, but I was holding it, and they pushed us through the corridors right out, and there was just staff just just right along the corridors, and it was one of them where it was like
honouring Ava,
yeah,
her life.
It was like it was
move weight alongside,
yeah,
playhouse,
yeah. It was one of them where it was like it was weirdly like gorgeous for her. But then, so we got in the car, and it was just me, Kate, and Laura, and they were brilliant. They just treated it like we obviously what had happened had just happened, but they were, I think, were trying to concentrate on making sure I was okay as well. Yeah. And we got
this is what we don't hear about, yeah, though.
Yeah, no,
it's not just appointments and therapy class or a hydro. It's this. Nobody knows this part.
No. And Kate and Laura are from our rapid response team, and they go out into the community and they support families, you know, at end of life,
yeah.
And they are the ones who can help make all the decisions, as Casey said. Yeah. Do they want to be at home? Do the families want to be a clear house? Yeah. What do you need? We'll make that happen
and help you with the decision making,
yeah,
because
yeah. Well, again, we never got to the end of life discussion with me because I didn't want to hear it. I always said, we'll discuss that when we get to it, yeah, we'll discuss it. And they were brilliant with that, and they always knew that that's how it was. Mm. So when we did get to it, they were just brilliant. And then we got Ava home, and then the next day the butterfly team came. And I have my own, so Sheila, who's on the butterfly team, I have my own relationship with Sheila from outside of Clare House. Mm. So her just being there as well, it's hard to explain about the butterfly room and the butterfly team. So you're going through the worst time of your life. Mm. Nothing, there's nothing that you think could help, but they somehow do. Mm. They somehow just, so when we were at Clare House, Ava was always, again, she was like a princess. So I ironed her pyjamas and everything, and they'd all scare at me for it, but they'd all do it for me because they knew that's what we'd done. So even then, we were at home, and Sheila and the rest of the other girls were like, we'll get a wash, we'll iron her pyjamas. And even that, it was something that I didn't know was, I just didn't think of. So they would do that for me. They got a wash, they got a change, they ironed her pyjamas, they made sure her socks matched, and they done all that care of things so I could just still be just their mum.
Yeah.
And even making sure you're fed. Like you don't want to eat, so you don't want to do anything. But they go above and beyond. I can't explain, I can't put into words what Clare House does mean to me and my family.
I couldn't have picked a better person to sit and get this message home.
Mm.
You've put it so bravely, but so well. Those little moments in life that you never feel you'll ever have to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I never wanted to, but then they did make it so much easier. Yeah. But even like now, like I think talking and speaking, I could speak about Ava every day. I will speak about her forever. But only with like, openly like this, yeah. I could only do that, I think, next to you.
Yeah.
So everyone has said to me, will you be okay? And I'm like, yes, yeah, but say this then.
So you can see that body language, you're both ready for it to finish each other's sets. Is that support? I couldn't think of a better example of this that we do need people to be aware of. And so moving forward then, we know how important this new place is going to be, and we know what needs to be done.
Mm.
Can you sum it up, the pair of you together then, as this team that it seems that you're going to be forever? Can you sum it up then for people who are sitting up straight now? They've cried along to the pods. They've felt it.
Mm.
They know they want to do something. What should they be doing now? And how did they get in touch? And how did they get involved? Mm.
I think as someone growing up who didn't have the support and felt the sense of loneliness and isolation, to then making a decision to help myself heal myself in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking, right, okay, let me make sure that there are people, you know, in our community that aren't doing this alone. First and foremost, the loneliness and the connection is like so important. And I think now being a part of Clare House and seeing that everything that it can do and the flexibility of that as well. So what I mean by that is we can have a family such as
Katie's family, yeah. and we'll be like, what do you need? What can we do for you?
Yeah.
And, you know, whilst the hospital's doing an amazing job, you know, we can help with bringing your child home if that's what it is. Yeah. You need supporting yeah. you from the home, coming to the hospice and making sure you've got yeah. hot meals and, you know, the, our butterfly suite, which has got a look, we turn the rooms that we use yeah. Into bedrooms for our lovely children.
But what can we do, Sarah?
And what you can
I'm
do?
I'm just thinking of every woman, okay. man, everybody who's listening now to this podcast, yeah. they're ready to do something yeah, and I don't know what they can do.
I think... So going back to Ava, my best friend Libby, when Ava passed away, so Libby is Sheila's daughter-in-law, so that was wow. my connection with Sheila.
Yeah, yeah.
So every year, the first bank holiday of May, we do a walk in Ava's name and we raise money for Clare House, a yeah. butterfly mm-hmm. suite, and that's like kind of our way of trying to help. I mean, I could never be able to pay them back what they've done for me and my family mm. and Ava. But it's just like our little way of...
So it's as simple as take it into work.
Mm. Yeah.
The old school ways, the bake yeah. sales, yeah. the sponsored walks,
yeah.
the, you know... Anything. Now in 2026, set up a Vinted account.
Yeah. yeah.
And you know what? Put your kids' clothes on it. Mm. And if whether that's £30 a month.
Mm. Yeah.
Throw it to, mm-hmm. to Clare House.
Yeah.
Go half, go 50% of keeping from yourself. 50%. Mm-hmm. So it's literally anything like that yeah. where every tiny bit makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And Clare House originally started because of a young girl called Claire Kane. And yeah,
I met her father.
Oh, mm-hmm. did you? And they never, you know, they made sure they raised vital funds to make sure that the family got the support that that they never
and she grassroots fundraiser.
Absolutely it was. They started with like 90 something pounds, didn't they? And Claire Kane loved wearing different hats and silly hats. And so now a lot of schools, a lot of places in the community, workplaces will do like a silly hat day and they'll pay a pound to do a silly hat day, or we'll get some of our community fundraisers to go out to schools or organisations, bring Claire Bear, our mascot along, and do like little assemblies.
So we need to take responsibility.
Yeah, definitely.
This
we do skydives.
Yeah,
I've actually done a skydive.
Did you do one?
About that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I never told you.
Well, we're not saying you've got to do a skydive, but you can sell a few cakes or do a skydive, whatever you want to do. A lot of workplaces as well, I always try and drum this home, is that they have a budget. Mm. Where they go, well, that's tax deductible if I give it to a charity. Mm. Ring up Clare House in the right circles. Yeah. Say the words.
Sorry, as well, can I just say, as I know Clare House support just through end of life and through everything, but through the years that we were there, we had days out. We had so many fun days. Oh. We had so much. And obviously all that is funding, that needs. So we'd go to the zoo, we'd do everything that you could for these children that some people might think they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always a big thing for me. Claire House was always there being like, no, she can.
She can enjoy it, the people around her, can have those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, girls, thank you. I think we've done our job here today. And I'm really grateful that you came in and you said it in your words, because it's been so powerful. And we're just all now thinking what we're going to do, including myself. Yeah. So watch this space. We'll do something together, gang. Find us on social media. Follow Clare House. Get in touch with the team that they're willing to help you. Let's do it. Let's do this.
Yeah. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.